All right, another question. Is there any possible state funding for an Unungan language program?
Not that I'm aware of, and I will ask my staff to look into that. Another great question. I'm not aware of any, but that's not to say that there might be a funding source tucked within either Department of Education or somewhere else in the budget, and we can look into that. And you know, if the caller wants to talk directly with my office, 1-800-898-4451, we'd be happy to research that for them.
We're getting to the end of the call-in show and also the end of the 90-day legislative session. Will it be 90 days again next year? Are people moving to try to extend it?
You know, I don't know, and the reason I hesitate is because the legislature, in order to overturn the initiative that was passed in 2006, would have to pass legislation to change the length of the session. And legislation, of course, would have to go through the House and the Senate and have to be signed by the governor's office. And a bill will definitely be introduced next year, a non-election year, and whether it makes it through the entire process in time to affect the 2011 session remains to be seen. My sense at this point would be that the likelihood is that we would have another 90-day session next year in 2011, and with any change, the overall length actually coming into effect in the 2012 session. But it's really hard to determine at this point what could happen. And it's interesting, you know, we've really had to hustle and spend. I mean, my day yesterday, for example, started at 7 a.m. and I didn't get done with the day, literally throughout the entire day till 8 o'clock at night. And to do that for 3 months or so is quite taxing. But on the same hand, you know, I think there's a lot of legislators and legislative staffers and others who welcome that extra month to be at home. And so it'll be interesting to see what the tenor of the discussion is next session. And at this point, it's not really sort of spelled out.
Someone wants to know, will you be visiting Unalaska again anytime soon?
Well, I talked with school board president Pound, Tammy, and Melody, and Sonia, the couple of school board members, when they were down here most recently. And graduation is on May 22nd. And boy, I would love to be down there for graduation. I don't know if I can make it down, but I'm going to try. And I think it would be a real special experience to be able to see the graduation and be part of it, and to certainly probably hold a community meeting while I was there and whatnot. And if I'm not able to make it down later on in May, then I will be down in the fall at some point. I'll coordinate with the local leadership to find out a time that would be best to come down. But the short answer is yes, I will be coming down, and I'm sure Senator Hoffman will be coming down as well.
Are you both up for re-election this year?
Yes.
Okay. Along the same line of things ending, what happens to all the bills that were proposed but didn't make it all the way through the process during this session?
Well, they will die a peaceful death, so to speak, and many will reemerge next session for a second go at it. And the bills that passed this year don't necessarily mean they're going into law because they need to be signed by the governor too. So some bills will pass the legislature, but may get vetoed by the governor or have to go back through the whole process. And interesting question in the sense that we have a number of larger ticket items in terms of legislation that might end up coming back again next year just because they need more work. And one of them might be the governor's scholarship program, although I think there's a fair chance that that passes this session. Another one is the Coastal Zone Management Program. Another example is a bill that would consolidate all the six utilities in South Central Alaska into one large corporation for the purposes of operating and purchasing generation and transmission infrastructure. So you've got bigger bills like that in some occasions takes two or maybe three sessions or sometimes even more to kind of work its way through the whole process. And then you've got a number of bills that our officers are going to pass this year, will get signed by the governor, and we'll be done with.
Another person would like to know that what's going to happen, or how will this region and district as a whole be affected by reapportionment, the censuses this year, and population distribution might turn out has changed. How is that going to affect our representation and who we are grouped with?
The short answer at this point is we don't know. The topic of rewriting the legislative boundaries, of course, what happens every 10 years vis-a-vis the state constitution and the federal constitution, is, the topic of redistricting is one that is of great concern to rural legislators because of the drop in population throughout most of rural Alaska, and then correspondingly the great increase in population in the south central part of the state. And I have, the last couple of months, had occasion to learn a lot more about the reapportionment process. And, it's pretty clear that that the rural areas are going to lose at least one or possibly two House seats. And, if you had to sort of throw a dart on the wall at this point and project, where those House seats might be, I think you'd point to Southeast and probably the interior House districts at this point being the ones that get absorbed into other rural districts and help accommodate that growth in population in the south central area of the state.
So Southwest would not necessarily be affected?
Well, there's always a chance that it will be. We're down about 3,000 overall if you were to take the state's current projected population. And mind you, that the census process is not is just beginning, and it hasn't been finalized. So that will be the hard and fast numbers that will be used for redistricting in Alaska, and we'll know more this fall what those numbers are. We're looking at House districts of approximately 17,000 or so per House district. Last redistricting in 2000, it was about 14,000 and change. And so it's quite easy to see how rural areas, which have in most corners of the state lost population, that we're going to have to be scrambling for additional communities to keep our House districts intact. Final thing I would say on reapportionment is that this whole process is going to be governed by a 5-member board. And of that 5-member board, 2 of the members will be appointed by the governor, 1 member by the Senate president, 1 member by the House speaker, and the 5th member will be appointed by the Chief Justice, the court's Chief Justice. And the governor has committed to appointing his 2 members sometime after session. So that'll kick off the appointment of that 5-member body. And who comprises the member of the reapportionment board, who they hire as the director, there is a certain amount of subjectivity and decision-making involved in redrawing the legislative lines in Alaska. And so people are eagerly waiting for that to take place and to get a sense of, how the whole process is going to unfold.
Okay. We just got another call in. We're getting a lot of calls today. In House Bill 73, the Alaska State Firefighters Association attached a request to get special license plates for fire and EMS volunteers, saying their status. Do you have any thoughts on that proposal?
Well, I support it, and I'm glad that the caller brought that to my attention. I'm not sure where that bill is at the moment. A lot of things going on at one time here. But I'm writing it down. I'm going to have my staff take a look at it, and we will definitely, I wholeheartedly support it unless there's a reason not to, and I can't imagine there would be. And I appreciate the call bringing that to my attention.
Okay. We are running low on time. Do you have any final reflections on this year's session and what you hope to accomplish in the remaining week?
Our items in the capital budget are of paramount importance, and that will be a big focus of mine in the waning days of session. And we do have a couple of bills that I've sponsored. One to make more fishermen eligible for low interest rate energy efficiency loans, and another that would enable the King Cove Road transaction to take place at the state end of things. And so those are also personal priorities. But, you know, I think the focus largely is going to be on maintaining the programs by and large in the operating budget, and certainly the items in the capital budget, and to, you know, keep our focus on those issues.
Okay. Well, thank you to everyone who emailed in questions and called in questions during the show. Thank you, Representative Edgeman, for joining us today. And
good. And I just, mm-hmm. I just want, if I could, to really compliment the number of questions that came in today. I thought they were outstanding. There were some really detailed questions. And I think we will talk offline about our next conversation that we have. It might be at once session is over with, but I really appreciate the in-depth, you know, the very perceptive questions that we had today, and the interest level too. That's really encouraging, and I look forward to having this conversation sometime soon again.
Well, thank you for joining us, and thank you for being willing to listen to everyone in Unalaska.
You bet. Good morning to everyone out there.
All right. Have a good rest of your session.